What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, here we go. Friday, May the 9th, as we head into what should be another wild weekend in the Stanley Cup playoffs and the National Hockey League. It's been another crazy week. Round two got underway on Monday. So many storylines already in the four series. This is our third this week. We'll try to get them all in as best we can. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, Brian Ray will join us a bit later on. The Dallas Stars, of course, they're in tough against the Winnipeg Jets. They did come out on top in game one, so we'll go into a preview of that game two and also the series in general, and also go 77 seconds in with Brian as well. Before that, though, tons to get into. Some news off the ice, too. We'll talk about Joel Quenneville, Q, hired in Anaheim. We'll dive into that in just a bit. We'll go through the series a little bit with Dallas and Winnipeg. Save most of that, though, for, again, when Brian joins us in about 15 or 20 minutes from now. Let's get into, once again, the Edmonton Oilers, and I have an apology that I want to say. I did not give them a chance in round one against LA. I had the Kings winning in five. I was wrong. I didn't give them much of a chance, even though I'm not out of this yet. In round two, I had Vegas in six, but they're up 2-0. I will give them a lot more credit than I have been willing to give them before, Vic, this postseason began. This team, again, is not, I think, defying what we expect that they were going to do. But the fact is, again, and the narrative always will be, when you have 97 and 29, you will be in every game, in every series, until you're not. Hats off to them so far.
Well, the reason, Ryan, that we didn't have much faith in the Oilers to start the postseason run, and I'm with you. In the first round, I had the Kings, and I have Vegas in the second round, and that's not looking too great either.
Right.
But our biggest criticism of them was the absence of secondary scoring.
Yes.
That's what we talked about all season long, for the most part. It can't all be McDavid. It can't all be Draisaitl. And then we saw the quintessential example of them getting it done in terms of depth scoring in game two in Vegas, where everybody else scored. McDavid and Draisaitl were really quiet throughout most of that game. Vegas was very effective at not completely suffocating them, but limiting them. And then you have all these other players coming out of the woodwork, which is what we saw when the Oilers were successful last season, last postseason, I should say. And Pickard's good enough. And lo and behold, the superstars come to shine in OT. What a beautiful move. Superstars come to shine in OT. And they get away with the win. So depth scoring first, though.
And I will say this, that I really do think that science needs to examine the DNA of McDavid, because I don't think he's from this planet.
Sometimes it looks that way,
And even last, you know, I was thinking, too, about the goal. An incredible move. And you just knew that something was going to happen. When he took that pass, I believe it was from Corey Perry, when he took the pass in the neutral zone, he was already here in speed. Everybody else was here. And Jack Eichel was on the back end. So my thought was, number one, if that was a quote-unquote defenseman who was not there, but Jack Eichel, who's a forward, isn't. We all know that forwards can't play his defense as well as yada, all this stuff. Would it have been the same result? I will say yes. I will say we've seen that move time and time again that McDavid does. And the thing on that, too, that really got me at the end of it, McDavid and Eichel will be tied together like Crosby and Ovechkin. Again, there's been much more longevity with Sid and Alex than there has been with McDavid and Jack yet, but they're going to be tied together. It's just what it is when it comes to draft. But right when the goal went in, if you looked at Eichel, he went behind the net, put his back up against the boards, and put his head down, his stick on his knees. And when he was beaten too, Vic, by McDavid, you could kind of see him thinking, uh-oh, you know, that's it. It's all, everybody knew the game was done when McDavid got by got by Jack Eichel. Incredible.
And just because he's not a defenseman, Ryan, Jack Eichel is a top center in the league.
That's what I mean. Yeah, that's what I'm getting.
We're not talking about some fourth line plug here. Yeah. Right?
No.
Like, and he got beat, but it also it does go to show what a special player McDavid is. We can say it. We've already said it 1,000 times. We're going to say it another 1,000 times. I still do think that this series could be tied 1-1 right now.
I agree with you 100%.
I think the Oilers were very fortunate in game two as well.
100%.
The fact that Vegas took that 5-minute major in overtime, the Matt Roy cross check.
Yeah.
No, they didn't get beat on it, but that was 5 minutes when they're down a skater. And that's going to make a big difference. Vegas could have scored in if they were 5-on-5 in that opportunity. And the non-call on Arvidsson hit to the boards.
You
and
that
was
not, that.
It wasn't even a hit. It was like almost like a
It was the can opener. Yeah, it was the can opener. You can't do that. And I heard what Bruce Cassidy said after the game. Again, you and I have talked about this too much over the course of these first two rounds already when it comes to non-calls on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand. And that could have resulted, I mean, that could have been absolutely horrible. You just can't do that. And I don't care if you accidentally, you know, sometimes, look, it's hard to keep the stick completely firm in the hands, especially when you have them. I've watched a lot of games this postseason. What I've noticed, some of the players specifically, Pontus Holmberg is one guy on the Leafs. We can talk about Leafs in a second. But he's really a one-handed stick kind of guy. A lot of the other ones, when they skate, a lot of them have the two-hand. My point is you get more torque and you have more force on the stick, so it's not able to move this. I know it's hard to do, but you just can't do that. And the refs have to be better. That's all I'm going to say about it. The refs have to be better.
Vegas could have been on the power play instead of 17 seconds later giving up a goal to Dreisaitl. And we also, we don't have an update. Oh, we should mention McNabb. Is the poor fellow who went into the boards.
Yeah.
And we don't have an update on him And
what did Gary Lawless say to us on Wednesday? He said that the most underrated yesterday, today, tomorrow, McNabb.
And he may be out because it didn't look very swell. Anyway, the Oilers are up. They're up, deservedly or not, that's hockey. They're up 2-0, and now they're heading back to Alberta, and Vegas is in tough. I think they need to steal two. I think they need to steal two in Edmonton to get back into this, because there's just too many flying Oilers right now.
What's incredible is that it's now 6 straight comeback wins by Edmonton, and some of the other teams that have done that, the 93 Canadians, guess what? They went on to win the Cup, and other teams too have won the Cup when they've done this, and when they've gone up whole bunch of things going in their favor. Anyway, good on Edmonton. The Capitals, they needed that win last night, and they did get it.
They
played a much better game than they did in game one. Even Spencer Carberry, the rest of the team said, look, we didn't play well. Carolina, though, in game one, played a very structured top-to-bottom game. But the Caps, I'm glad they got it, because at least I'm still looking okay in this pick with Washington in 6. But they needed that win, and now the series is tied.
I still think that Carolina, and I know they're getting criticized today, internally from their own coach, from their own players. It's self-reflection. I still thought they played a very Hurricanes like game, and I thought they were very effective. Basically, they got beat on a McMichael breakaway because Gostisbehere took a puck to the face,
right?
And then they scored a beautiful passing play power play goal.
Right.
The end.
Right. Yeah. So just to
got lit up.
They the weren't dominated. Is, yeah,
no,
they weren't dominated.
The problem is they couldn't generate their own scoring chances, not quality ones.
Yeah.
And Thompson was very, very, very good. But they talked about it at a couple of points in that game, how the top line, Aho, Svechnikov, weren't shooting on net enough. And it was obviously true. They were having, it was like, no, you take it. No, you take it. Especially on the power play. No, you take it. No, you take it. Shoot!
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Right?
Logan, you mentioned Thompson, 27 saves, 16 in the third.
Excellent.
And say whatever you want about the first two frames, but if you make 16 saves in a deciding period, of course it can go to OT, but in this case it didn't. If you can make 16 saves in the final 20. Another thing too, a stat that certainly helped Washington's favor, they blocked 33 shots. So as good as Thompson was, they blocked 33 shots going in. And this is what everybody does. Every man and every woman, when it comes to playoffs and hockey, whatever, they sacrifice their bodies, no matter how good of a goaltender you have. Game 3 coming up on Saturday. Tom Wilson, you have it on the lineup, and I love when you do this, a very effective pain.
He's one of those players.
I love him.
He's one of those players. He's another Brad Marchand. He's a Sam Bennett. He's one of those players when they don't cross the line and get their own team into trouble with, say, an ejection or a 5-minute major or something to that effect. When just straddling that line, oh my goodness, I'm annoyed watching him, and I'm not on the ice with this guy. It's just all the little ticky-tack annoying stuff, the mouth guard situation the other day. He's also getting away with quite, I think he is very aware. First of all, he's a hell of a hockey player, so we can just say that. He doesn't necessarily need to be this type of pest. Yeah. But I think he looks around, notices where the refs are looking, and then there's a chunk, right?
Oh,
or
or,
you know, stomp on the skate a little bit. He's just, you have to be as cool as a cucumber when you're playing that guy, or else he will get to you.
I said this the other day when he took, and you and I talked about this, when he took the mouth guard out of Aho's mouth.
I said feedback, by the way. We got private feedback. A lot more people agree with me than you think.
Right. The screenshot of with it out of his mouth, and I joked, I said, oh, Sebastian's thinking, Tom Wilson, you're such an Aho for taking that out of his mouth. Anyway, I got a lot of feedback with that too. We'll see. So that series tied 1. Let's go to Toronto and the Florida Panthers. Again, Toronto up 2-0 in the series. Game 3 tonight. Games 3 and 4 in Sunrise in FLA. It was, again, these two games have been intense. They've been hard fought, both teams going at it. Certainly Toronto had the game in their hands in game 1, and then Stolarz got hurt, and then they saw that lead erase, but they found a way to win. Game 2, very tough, very close. The fact Toronto was up 2-0, I think this is the first time since 1963, if I'm not mistaken, early 60s, when Toronto's held that lead in this time of the season. So, like Edmonton is in the driver's seat against Vegas, Toronto's in the driver's seat against the Panthers.
I'm amazed we're even having this conversation. It was 1963 that they held a 2-0 series lead in the first two series. So it has been a very, very long time since anything like that has happened. And it's a great sign. If you asked me before the start of this series, I would have said Leafs fans will be happy with a split heading back to Florida, or happy, content enough.
Yeah.
Florida seen as, you know, the favorite ahead of this series, really. So now the fact that the Leafs are heading to Florida, now they're going to be looking to split at minimum. Sweeps are so hard run. They're going to be looking to split. And then returning to Toronto for game 5 up 3-1, that's a pretty nice situation to be in if they can get there. And I think they are in the driver's seat. Biggest difference for me, there's two. We talked about this before. They're so much faster.
Yeah.
And they're creating those dangerous rush opportunities because they're so much faster. We've just seen this. We've seen that in the top two games, in the first two games to start this series. The other part is they're scoring those goals that they didn't get later in games. Last year, the year before that, year before that. Matthew Nyes in game 1. Mitch Marner. Yes. Mitch Marner in game 2. These were the goals that they didn't get. Then they end up in overtime. Then they end up losing in overtime. And also credit to Joseph Woll, who was very good in game 2.
He was. And Stolarz is not playing. I do not expect him back at all in this series, even if it goes the distance. I just think, say they go through 5 games and Toronto's up 3-2 or whatever the series is after 5. Joe Walls, I mean, this is his series. I get how Stolarz is kind of the number one, but when he left on the arena on a stretcher going to the hospital, you're not playing. So just leave it alone and let's ride well. Two things that stood out for me in game 2, Vic. The injuries to Matthews and Tkachuk. I know Tkachuk's one. That's going to come out at the end of the season. And when people realize what he's playing with, it'll be the fact that he's actually skating is unbelievable. Matthews is still banged up. He's been banged up the whole year. But Tkachuk is a non-factor at the moment. And if you look at the goal from the other night, when Max Domi scored, took the pass from Lorenz, and he scored. Yeah. It was a great play. Great play, too, by Scott Laughton in the neutral zone. He was the one that got the puck, and he didn't get an assist on it because I think Riley tested then Lorenz and then Domi. But Laughton made the difference. Anyway, the point is, if you look at Tkachuk, watch how he's coming back. He's not even skating. He's just gliding. So that's a concern. Matthews, again, he's not himself. Everybody's grinding. I get it. But I will say this. Brad Marchand said after the game, he said, Toronto has come to play in this series. Now, Brad always kind of, you know, does these little digs to Toronto and yada, all that, right? But this is a different team. And say whatever you want about the club, if whatever happens, This is a different team this season.
Two last notes on that. Yep. Stolarz, they say, is going to be out a minimum of 7 days because of concussion course. Protocol.
Yeah.
So whether, but you're still saying it will go beyond the 7 days, you believe?
I do believe if Toronto, I don't know what, I'm trying to picture myself behind the bench. And Stolarz has been the number one. He got you through Ottawa. He's been the number one guy all season. He was out for the injury, the surgery, came back, and he's the number one. But I just do feel that in a time like this, when Wall comes in, and he's now in game one, he did game two, and he's the starter for the foreseeable future. Even if Stolarz is healthy, I just think you want to take as much time as you can with him.
Fair enough.
Especially if Wall is doing okay, and the Leafs are doing okay.
Fair enough. And a little credit to you, too. We discussed this at length a couple days ago about Sam Bennett and would there be any retribution?
Nothing.
I always try. I try to say the word all the time and I can't say it. Retribution.
There you go. Yeah.
And you said,
you know what you need? You need the bouncy ball. Bumpa roof here. Retribution.
You know what I just need to do is change up the terms and say payback. But anyway.
Why didn't you? So, you just did. There you go. Or use one of your Mattyisms.
That's another mouthful. Okay. And you said there wouldn't be, and there wasn't. They played a very disciplined game. They wouldn't get sucked into anything. And I think that's another reason they came out on top. Last bit, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking William Nylander for Conn Smythe if the Leafs continue on?
You have to. And I think one of the great questions that was asked the other night about William Nylander, the question was, you know, what have you learned about William that you may not have known and whatever? And he just said, leave the guy alone.
Yeah.
Craig Berube said, leave him alone. And look, he beats to his own drum. Every press conference and interview, shirts off. He wore the same suit twice, two games in a row to
Wouldn't
the arena.
You? If
yeah,
I won
suit.
With it, I would, yes.
Well, why not, right? I would do it as well. Anyway, yes, I absolutely agree. He has no pressure at all. He doesn't feel it. If he does, he doesn't show it. Absolutely, Conn Smythe. Quickly, Dallas and Winnipeg. So again, Dallas took game one. Hold on, just let me look. Miko, yeah. I can't, Miko yeah. Rantanen. Yeah, haven't heard of him before. He's been really quiet in the postseason. Finally, he showed up in game one against Winnipeg. It's been so long. It's unreal. We'll talk to Brian Ray more about this, Bick, but it's unreal what he is doing.
It is unreal, and I want to ask, other than him getting in front of the net, because that's been the most effective,
Hellebuyck
was pretty good in that game.
Yeah,
two
bad.
Of those goals were pretty unsavable, so he only let in one that I thought he had a shot at. Yeah. I think he was pretty good, but when you have Mikko Rantanen right in front of you, just into the blue paint, I don't like any goaltender's chances, and that's been the difference maker so far, and that's why Winnipeg lost their first at home this series, or this playoff run, I should say.
Yeah, it has been. So we'll see. 1-0 Dallas. We'll talk to Brian Ray more about that game and game two and the series and other things as well in just a little bit. Last one, some news off the ice. Again, there's some teams that are in need of coaches, and I think the stat at some point last season or something like that, 16 of the 32 teams had changed their coaches in a small amount of time. It's just unreal, the turnover. Anyway, Joel Quenneville, Victoria, is now back, and he's the new coach of Anaheim.
I don't want to give this too much time.
We don't need to give it too much
time. People have very strong opinions about whether this is the right move or whether this is the wrong move.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't want to just leave it alone because we do have a podcast. I am going to take, if anybody's interested in my opinion, and really it's irrelevant, but because this is a done deal now, I'm going to take the position of the lawyer representing the John Doe of the Black Aces, who we don't know the identity of and have no reason to know the identity of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not outraged by the decision to have Joel Quenneville back in the league. I am mildly disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that the team from ownership down through management to Joel Quenneville himself has said everything that I think we needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They're using terms. Joel Quenneville has talked to Kyle Beach. He's mm-hmm. talked about, he sounds genuinely, genuinely remorseful mm-hmm. for his lack of action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now let's look to the future and take it from here. And let's hope not only Joel Quenneville, but every other coach in every other league around the world of every sport realizes that they are in charge of their players and they're there to also to take care of their players. That's not management. It's not ownership. That's coaching. And let's all do better. This is done. What's done is done. Let's do better. That's all I got.
I completely 110% agree with everything that you said. And we don't need to give it another minute. I will say this, that coaching and management whatever it is, whoever's involved in any game, in any sport, they have to understand that life is more important than the actual game.
Oh my goodness, yes.
So,
oh,
and that's lost. Yes. That's lost a lot of time for whatever reason or reasons. Coach Q, with Anaheim, we'll see what happens. The unfortunate part of all, there's so many unfortunate parts of that whole incident and everything that happened. But this is following him now and will be until the end of time.
And just last bit. Mm-hmm. Every time something happens on this front, and it was the same thing when Sam Bowman was hired in Edmonton, it's yes. just another opportunity, not maliciously, but for Kyle Beach to be victimized once more. And I really hope, because now everybody wants to know what Kyle Beach feels about this.
Just
it's none of our business.
Leave it. Exactly.
If he wants to speak, he'll speak. Mm-hmm. But just I hope this is the end for him and he can just have some peace if that's what he wants. Yeah. That's all I got on that.
No, I agree. Brian Ray will join us in next, and we'll talk Dallas and Winnipeg, game number 2 of that series. Dallas on top 1-0, and of course we'll go 77 seconds in with Brian Ray in a bit. Pucks and 7, Brian Payton, Victoria Matyash, Brian Ray coming up.
Welcome back to Pucks and 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matyash.
You're probably wondering why I'm taking so long to introduce Brian Ray. I'm actually following up on time zones, Brian, right now. So I'm looking at Central specifically. So the whole thing about this, Brian Ray, again, back here on the program, great to have you on. So Vic and I blanked on the whole Central thing. Verizon Central, we're in Eastern time zone. And so when we're doing the first segment of this show, I see Brian Ray into the lobby and I'm looking, I'm thinking, hold on a second. So then I completely didn't even hear what Vic said. I'm looking down at my phone texting you and Vic's like, and she said to me, of course I wasn't looking. It's Brian.
Oh, I'm a blah, 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 yeah, blah, uh-huh. blah, blah.
Probably the best stuff you've ever done and I missed it.
Yes,
anyway,
<right. laughs>
an hour after we have our time zones correct. How are you?
I still think it's incredible we both got this wrong when we usually are pretty good with the time zones. But Brian Ray covers the Dallas Stars. That's a very good question. How are you other than extremely patient?
Does anybody listen to their co-host anymore on podcasts? Because there's like 9 million of these things flying out here. The funny thing is you guys are talking about the Central time zone. We basically have had nothing but 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern start times in the playoffs in Dallas. So we might as well be in the Mountain time zone, honestly, with right. the start times the NHL has given us. And here we go again with another 8:30 puck drop. 8:52, my mistake,
yes.
here in the Central time zone. So it's good to be with you guys.
It takes too long. When they say 8:30, you know it's not going to be at least 20 minutes after that. Okay, we're going to get into a whole bunch of different things. We'll talk to just NHL, the playoffs in general. 8 teams left, 4 series ongoing right now. So we'll dive into a little bit of those. But specifically, Dallas taking on Winnipeg. So game 1's in the books. And I was there's some guy named Mikko Rantanen who's
what is going on?
I joked to Vic, it's about time he showed up. It took him to game 1 against Winnipeg to finally show up. Bri, the numbers are astonishing. His playoff numbers are astonishing. The play is astonishing. Everything he is doing is astonishing. Is this what we
Why?
Expected? Yeah. Like what
Why?
Is, what is it? What is it about this guy?
Well, first of all, the why is because he's a really good hockey player.
Before, he
does have proven playoff success. I mean, he is over a point per game in his career, and this is a lengthy career. There's a couple of elements at play here. So when we were watching the Colorado series, and if you do a deep dive into some of the analytics, this probably started realistically in game 2. Now, not to the effect we've seen the last handful of games, but after he got lined up with Roope Hintz and Mikael Granlund halfway through game 1 of that Colorado series, the shot attempts were there. The high danger chances were there. The time on ice was there. Every analytic said that he was an effective player on the ice, except he was not scoring goals.
Right.
But how many times do you see during the regular season that a player who might be on a bit of a cold streak, coaches say he's doing everything right, coming. Mm-hmm. And then it finally arrives and you're like, got it. There it is. Now, we didn't expect multiple hat trick, 8 billion points over a 3-4 game stretch.
That's a pretty good points per game average, right?
But if you want to look at the building blocks to going on a hot run, They were coming for Mikko Rantanen in games 2, 3, and 4 of the Colorado series. So, you know, I'm not going to say I'm not surprised he's had this kind of a run. We're all surprised. But watching him in the Colorado series, it did feel like something was coming for him. He just needed to get the goal. And not just the goal to open himself offensively, the emotional impact of playing Colorado in that series. There's something about getting your first goal against that former team. And I was always saying, when can Mikko Rantanen get to the emotional place that for the 60 minutes he's on the ice, he hates the other team?
Right.
It's different for him to hate that team than anybody else on the Stars roster. I think scoring that first goal in game 5 probably helped him get to that place a little bit quicker. And now he's built on it. In terms of the Winnipeg game, I really like what Peter DeBoer did, because you're looking for an advantage somewhere. And he double-shifted Mikko Rantanen on that line with Hintz and Granlin, and he also double-shifted him on the fourth line. You're trying to create a mismatch somewhere as the road team, and he's riding that hot hand on the fourth line. Now you've forced Winnipeg into a decision. The group you want to defend Mikko Rantanen, do you want them out there against his other two top players, Granlin and Hintz, or do you want them out there against the fourth line? Now you have to make a decision. That's tough to do as the road team. And Peter DeBoer put Scott Arneil and the Jets into a decision-making mode. And two of the three goals he scored were on the ice with those fourth liners, with Sam Steele and Evgeny Dodonov. Now, whether that continues tonight, whether there's a different wrinkle, Winnipeg is certainly going to make an adjustment of some kind. We'll see what happens in game 2. But I think there's... part the play of Mikko Rantanen was setting the table for an increase in production. Part coaching maneuvers from Peter DeBoer in game 1 also set the table for some production. And then you just factor in, he is a very good playoff player. Dallas is going to have to continue attacking the middle of the ice. And when you have a player whose nickname is Moose, the middle of the ice is usually where he's going to find his most success. And that's what's going on right now.
Outside of him, and I know that's like pushing an elephant or a moose out the door, but aside from Mikko Rantanen, what else has gone right for the Stars, not necessarily just in game 1, but in the series against the Avalanche as well?
Jake Ottinger has gone right. When the two biggest questions for us in Dallas, Mikko Rantanen versus Colorado, Jake Ottinger versus everybody, especially Colorado's offense. We've covered the Rantanen thing. Jake Ottinger was fine. You know, the first couple of games, he was fine. I know there was the lopsided score in game 1 against Colorado, but he was dealing with a lot of high danger situations. You're playing Colorado. The entire lifestyle against Colorado is high danger situations. Jake Ottinger's numbers, both in his career and in that series, ascended. He was getting better and stronger as the series went along. Mackenzie Blackwood plateaued, in my opinion. He wasn't bad, but I thought he was better in the first half of the series than he was in the second half of the series. That's a first-time playoff goaltender dealing with a cup contender in the West and dealing with the 7-game series. There's a lot of experience that Mackenzie Blackwood just gained out of that series, even though they lost. I thought he plateaued. Then you go to game 1 against Winnipeg. Dallas, they had the first 9 shots on goal. The shots were 9-0 in the first half of that first period, it felt like. Connor Hellebuck was Connor Hellebuck, and he weathered that storm. Once Dallas got the 3-2 lead, you knew the Winnipeg Hurricane was coming in the third to find the equalizer. Dallas played well in front of their goaltender. They've done a much better job, I feel like, of packing the middle of the ice and trying to put up a bit of a wall. But Jake Ottinger then made every key save that was needed to get game 1 to the finish line and steal home ice advantage. And there's the whole, I think there's an overhead photo of that just monster scramble play where it looked like, you know, Jon Snow in Game of Thrones climbing his way out of the pile of bodies. It's look, Jake Ottinger found a way to make that save. Whether it was luck, whether it was skill, maybe it's a little bit of both. He found a way to make that save when it was needed. Did the same thing in game 7 against Colorado before Rantanen, you know, buried the empty netter. Jake Ottinger has a rise to the occasion gene that we've witnessed for a handful of years now in Dallas. going against Connor Hellebuck one-on-one. This is probably the biggest rise to the occasion part of his career. We'll see how the rest of the series goes. But that's the other equivalent for me, is you got the goaltender and he's giving you the goaltending right now in these in the first series, in the first game.
You got to be good to be lucky.
You do. I learned something. I learned a lot from you every time we speak, but I learned something now from you, that there's another hurricane and it's Winnipeg. I thought it was only in Carolina. Anyway, let's carry on. How much chatter, again, both these teams had to go to game seven, Winnipeg against St. Louis and Dallas against Colorado. How much chatter was there in anticipation of, say, Dallas winning game seven and they would take on Winnipeg, about how poorly, especially on the road, Connor Hellebuck played in that first round in St. Louis?
If there was any chatter, we were not hearing it from the locker room. We were not hearing it from the coaching staff. We were not hearing it from the team. It was entirely about trying to get past Colorado.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, the Central Division, I've referred to the Central Division this year as Thunderdome. When you look at...
That's pretty good, actually.
Minnesota, even Minnesota crossing over gave Vegas some serious problems.
Mm-hmm.
And who knows, whoever survives this division between Winnipeg and Dallas, what they're going to look like in the conference final.
Yeah.
But there was very little chatter just because of the monster that was staring the Stars in the face in Colorado and the monster that was staring Colorado in the face in the form of the Dallas Stars.
Mm-hmm.
Entering this series, once Dallas had solidified things and moved on, we weren't talking about it, you know, myself and my co-host Brent Severin, a ton. We didn't hear a ton from Peter DeBoer. He was asked about it, but he basically said, look, we saw what Connor Hellebuck looked like in the first half of their game seven, and we saw what he looked like in the second half of their game seven. And so you wonder, did demons get exercised in that seventh game for Connor Hellebuck?
Uh-huh.
I thought he was pretty good in game one. I mean, the game-winning goal deflected off a skate.
I thought he was actually very, very good in game one.
Yes. Yep. And he was phenomenal in the first half of period one when Dallas was just flying shots left and right. So we'll see what Connor Hellebuck looks like when the series comes to Dallas. But I don't think anybody is looking at this series saying, don't worry, the old Connor Hellebuck is going to show up. No, I think you're looking at the Connor Hellebuck right now that looks like the guy who's going to win the Vezina. And once again, the Jake Oettinger versus Connor Hellebuck storyline is the number one storyline. Is Jake Oettinger going to outduel Connor Hellebuck? Is Connor Hellebuck going to have a relapse? Is this going to be a goaltending series all the way to the finish? It really is the most intriguing story, but there has not been a ton of chatter about first round Hellebuck once Dallas crossed over after beating Colorado. There really hasn't.
That's a really good summary. I like how you have the goaltenders up against each other and the way you phrase it. We're going to move on from the Stars in just a second. One last one. Who needs to be better for Dallas?
You know what? For me, I'm surprised Matt Duchene has been as quiet as he has been.
I'm not surprised by your answer at all.
It's not even like he's been bad. I mean, you know, overall, his line mates, you know, they've been effective on the ice. But I thought after the playoff experience he gained last year, he's never been to a conference final until last season, carried over into this season where he was the Stars' probably most consistent and productive forward start to finish. You know, Robertson had flashes, Hintz had flashes, Johnston had a great backup. But game one to game 82, Matt Duchene was the best forward on the Dallas Stars roster. I'm kind of surprised that he's cooled off a little bit in this first round. I thought he might build as the Colorado series went along. So, you know, we'll see what happens in Winnipeg. But that is one guy that I think if Dallas can have Matt Duchene clicking, now down the middle of their forward group, you have Roope Hintz, who's been making plays alongside Mikko Rantanen. You would have Matt Duchene driving play and producing. And then you have Wyatt Johnston in that three hole, who is also driving play and finding a way to produce. That's pretty effective in a playoff series if you can have your three centermen creating plays and driving production. Because now you don't need to do a Mikko Rantanen and fourth line swap to try and create a mismatch. You have mismatches. And just one joke for you guys, getting back to Rantanen, the best line I saw on social media. When Rantanen came to Dallas, all the naysayers talking about Mikko Rantanen being a Nathan MacKinnon merchant.
Mm-hmm.
So after game one, some Dallas fan posted on Twitter that Mikko Rantanen is a Sam Steele merchant.
Right.
I was like, that's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. Just tip of the cap to that, to whoever sent that out.
That's adorable. And we're not knocking Sam Steele.
No.
We're not. He's been an effective player for Dallas over the last 2 years.
That's great, though. That's really good.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Thoughts on two of the other three series, the ones that are 2-0. So Carolina and Washington tied to 1. The Caps winning last night. That evens it up at 1 now. Toronto up 2-0 on Florida. Edmonton winning last night. They're up 2-0 on the Vegas Golden Knights. Just your thoughts on those two. I know a lot of the talk, probably more so is in Toronto, is it always seems to be every single postseason we come. But the fact they're up 2-0, Stolarz, a lot of different storylines coming out of that one in the first couple of games. Just kind of summarize the first two games in each of those series that you see.
So I'll start in the East. When the playoffs began, I thought the Toronto Maple Leafs finally had a path. Because I thought Florida and Tampa Bay would just beat the snot out of each other. And I thought Toronto would have not an easy time getting past Ottawa, but Toronto has the experience. Ottawa's just happy to be there. I was surprised Florida made as quick work of Tampa Bay as they did. And because they made that quick work, I'm actually surprised Toronto is up 2-0, you know, but I still think there's a path for Toronto because they didn't have to deal with a combination of Florida and Tampa from round one to round two. And I think that path is still there. That being said, the old adage, it ain't a series until somebody wins a road game.
Right.
So I think that still applies to Toronto and Florida. I would not be surprised if Florida defends home ice and now we're in a best of three and Toronto has to figure out how to slay the dragon. I think there's a lot that remains to be seen there. Carolina and Washington, I have a similar thought. That feels like a series that's going to need some distance.
Yep, exactly.
And so the fact that it's 1-1 after two, I'm not surprised by that either. Getting to the Vegas-Edmonton series, I don't know what to make of what's going on that side of the Western Conference bracket. Because I just said it ain't a series until somebody wins a road game. That one feels a little strange to have. Yeah. It feels a little strange because I thought LA was beating Edmonton. I think a lot of us thought that. And all of a sudden, but Edmonton's doing all of this come from behind fashion. You know, the five straight comeback
wins. Six in a row, Brian.
Yeah. And now you're doing it against a Vegas team that has some proven pedigree. So I think Vegas has got some problems staring them in the face. I wouldn't be surprised if Vegas went into Edmonton and won those two games. It was a year ago that Vegas came into Dallas and took the first two games, you know, in Dallas, and Dallas went into Vegas and took those two games in Vegas. It was the most unpredictable, weird series. So that is the most unpredictable, I think, of the remaining series going on. But when a team goes in and wins two road games, there's major alarm bells going off in Vegas. And I don't know if the ghost of Calvin Pickard is going to continue to ascend, if it's going to bury itself back in the ground. Who saw this? Who saw Edmonton doing any of this with a backup goaltender? Come on.
Ryan did. No, really? He's been championing him since Christmas.
Four months ago. When Edmonton was healthy, I said, and I got roasted on the hot stove. Vic probably shook her head.
I was roasting you 10 seconds ago.
I know you were. It continues. It's the roast that never stops. I'm getting burned all the time. But I said, look, I said, for whatever reason, and one game in particular, Bri, that came out, I forget the player. Maybe it was Leon Draisaitl. He said after the game, and this was, I don't know, back in January, something like that, when Calvin Pickard started, he said, or somebody said on the team, we feel very comfortable playing in front of him. And that stuck with me.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, Leon, whoever wasn't probably saying, oh, we don't feel the same way with Skinner. But it's not something you hear about, I think. Maybe it's to try to get some positivity and some motivation for Pickard being the backup. But I said months ago, I said, whoever the Edmonton Oilers play in game one of round one, it has to be Calvin Pickard. And I'm staying with that.
Kudos to you for making the call. That shocks me even further because Matthias Ekholm was a part of the equation when you made that comment. And now he's not. I don't ask me about the series in the Pacific. I have no freaking clue what's going to happen.
Awesome.
That's insane.
All right. I think we're ready for 77 seconds, are we not, Ryan and Peyton?
We are.
I think I needed like 4 minutes the last time we did this.
You did.
We've gone long. Most of the time we've gone long. I'll kick it off. What's your favorite non-Dallas story to come out of this regular season? Something that happened.
Ooh, wow. Non-Dallas story.
Yeah. Yep.
Can Logan Stankoven and the Carolina Hurricanes finally break through and get to the Stanley Cup final? Because if what people hope happens here in Dallas happens, right. How awesome of a Stanley Cup final story. You know, I'm taking the Carolina side of it. I know I'm sliding okay. in Dallas slightly,
That's
but
okay.
that
That's okay.
would be the most insane storyline to cover on a Stanley Cup final.
Sounds good that to would me.
Be. Your vote for coach of the year.
Oh, gosh. Who are the three finalists again?
St. Louis,
yeah.
Scott Arneil, and yeah. Carberry.
Yeah. And Carberry. You know, it's Spencer Carberry.
Okay.
I'm
with you.
Well, I was leaning Dean Evason as the regular season was mm-hmm, rolling mm-hmm, along, mm-hmm. but Spencer Carberry and just Spencer Carberry and I don't know each other. I hope I get to meet him in a non-morning skate situation one day, because Spencer Carberry went to Division III St. Norbert College in Wisconsin. And when I was a student broadcaster doing play-by-play at Lake Forest College, I watched that guy absolutely destroy us and the rest of Division III hockey for two straight years. And then he went to the ECHL and had success. So I've actually followed his coaching career quite a bit, because right. I watched him as a player, as a Division III collegiate athlete at St. Norbert College. But I think he's got to win the Coach of the Year award.
Agreed.
No disagreement here.
Who emerges from the East? We kind of went into it a bit. You said Toronto's path, but who emerges?
Yeah. Well, I thought Toronto had a path, and I think there's a lot of unknowns with the other teams. I'll stick with Toronto. Okay. I do think adding Craig Berube and adding Chris Tanev does change the makeup and the vibe around that team.
We like mm-hmm. the now, answer.
Yeah. Well, the goaltending situation is a big question mark now.
And you know what we were saying? We've been talking about this, and I think that many people around the league can notice it. There's some, even if Toronto doesn't go far, or however far they end up going, whatever it is, if it ends sooner than they wanted to, there's something different about the team. There's yeah. the times that they've been tied, or Ottawa would come back to tie the game in that first round, Toronto would find a
attitude.
Way to lose. The other game as well, when Florida would come, Toronto would find a way to lose, right? So, and we've seen this over the course of the 82 games.
You have to lose before you can win.
Exactly.
Every team goes through this.
Exactly.
Ryan just used up all the 77 seconds, but
my Spencer Carberry story took a serious chunk out of it, so
it
I'm partly
yeah.
to blame
guest.
Here.
He's a host. What's the most
it's okay,
interesting?
Okay, Brian, we do get along. We do.
What is
promise.
Most of the time? What's the most interesting interview you've ever conducted? Or one
oh,
of them?
Oh my god!
Not,
oh my god!
Doesn't have to be the ultimate.
You know what? I just did a piece. The NHL fired it up. It was in partnership with Chipotle. Mm-hmm. I just did a piece with Wyatt Johnston, where I actually went to his apartment and played ping pong with him.
No
I saw
and
this
then,
online.
This
is really great.
That
I
was
saw
actually
that
there was and I mean they cut that down to like 90 seconds, 2 minutes.
Right.
There was some like some strange stuff we got into all over the map out of that. That was a
okay.
really cool, really fun interview to do, and he's a very interesting. Very interesting person off the ice.
And also a better ping pong player than you is what I gathered.
I mean,
from that.
I am third grade level ping pong. Like it was, we all knew where it was going before
right.
things even began.
Yeah. best Irish whiskey out there.
Middleton.
That
Middleton.
I was wondering if you were going to say that.
Yeah.
If you ever go to Ireland.
I have been.
Go. Yet. Okay. Don't do the Dublin Jameson tour. Go to Cork City and do the Middleton Irish Whiskey Tour and do the 2-hour behind the scenes experience. Don't do the first level to the full public. It is worth, if you're a whiskey lover, mm-hmm. it is beyond worth the price of admission. Oh, it is beyond worth the price of admission.
Middleton. Okay. So we've made a note of that. Your choice, Stars Stanley Cup victory or Republic of Ireland World Cup victory.
I'm an American. We've been terrible at soccer. We only pay attention to the World Cup when the U.S. is good. Give me the Stanley
right.
Cup. Every day of the week and twice on Sunday.
I was wondering where you were going to go because you still very much enjoy your Irish heritage. So I was wondering what you were going to think about that.
Yes.
I thought you were going to go the other way.
No, no. Give me the Stanley Cup. I can't drink out of the World Cup with when the Republic of Ireland wins it. But maybe I have an outside shot of sneaking in and getting a chance to kiss that thing. So it's all about me.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty obvious this whole thing is about you, Brian. You're a very selfish individual. Last one. We do some digging with our guests, and I saw a picture of you yesterday without a beard. How long? How long has this been? I don't know how long ago that was, but how long has this been going?
Calder Cup playoffs 2017.
Oh, so quick. A long time now.
So consider that my answer to get us to the end of the 77 seconds, about 77 seconds over the limit. Yeah. My last year in the American League before I came up and started working with Dallas. The Texas Stars made a miracle run to the 2017 Calder Cup final, mm-hmm. where they lost in game 7 to the Toronto Marlies, mm-hmm. in Rico Coliseum. But mm-hmm. I was growing a playoff beard during that whole thing. So it was 59 days I went without shaving. But the reason I still have it is during that time, I was dating my wife, my wife now. And so once that beard came in, she told me, she's like, by the way, don't shave that beard.
Right.
Okay. And then I was, you know, two coworker friends of mine, you know, both female. I was having this chat with them and I was like, yeah, like, you know, this girl I'm dating, she told me I shouldn't shave the beard. And they were both like, she's right. Don't shave the beard. So I went, all right, I have three independent sources that tell me, don't get rid of this beard. Right. That's enough information. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to evaluate anything. I have enough information that says this beard is staying. Once these playoffs are done, I'm just going to clean it up a little bit.
You can take one more bit of feedback.
Oh, sure.
I think you look splendid.
Thank you very much, Vic.
Yeah, she hasn't said that about me.
You keep it nice and short, and we've talked about it, and I've said I really like it.
I know. I'll leave it with this, Bri. If you did shave it, that could have been a hairy situation with your girlfriend.
We almost got there.
God, that was brutal.
That was terrible. Yeah, great way to end.
I mean, I've heard your shows. That is kind of your thing. That is kind of your thing. Oh, my God.
Thanks, Bri.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Brian.
Always great to come on. I don't know how we can end after that comment from Pates, but it's always a blast, guys. Enjoy the playoffs.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.